CliffCentral.com.
Okay, it is time now for us to welcome to the show, back again after 30 years of touring, six children, two ex-wives, a new wife.
Sure.
Six DVDs.
What a life.
Two movies. Las Vegas, John Cleese, Billy Connolly, millions of air miles, and a lifetime achiever statue on his mantelpiece. Barry Hilton, the quintessential South African comedy giant, joins us this morning. Look at him. Hello, Bazza.
How's
you
it?
Look fucking you look spectacular. Look at you.
I didn't want to shave this morning because I thought I wanted to just prove.
Look at you.
I didn't want to shave.
You look great.
I wanted to prove that people with hair can still grow beards.
Barry.
And also it's nonsense, you know, to that say that if you bald you're virile and all that stuff. Virile. Because I've got six children, bro. Six. Yeah.
But so, you're not bald. I mean,
no,
you've got.
Can I even do this? Check this.
That's phenomenal. Now that's a real talent. I don't think a lot of people can do that. And you can't.
It. I mean, you know,
can't go to Turkey. You can't go to Turkey and learn that.
Yeah, I was watching a thing the other day with Jacques Callis. I mean, obviously one of the best batsmen in the world, or the best all rounder in the whole world. And he was doing an advert about drinking some sort of juice or whatever. And I said to my wife, check this, I'm going to take this stuff. Jacques Callis could do it because the line was, it puts hair on your chest. And I thought, well, he should actually rather say it puts hair on your head.
Shame. He was quite famously one of the guys who first went for a hair transplant, wasn't he? Or used some. Yeah. You know, everybody knows that about him. Yeah, sure.
I mean, why not, you know?
If it makes you feel better. So, Barry, first of all, I do want to just talk about this new show that you're doing because this is really interesting.
It's you not call a show. It.
Well, I mean, it's a thought-provoking life in 3D journey. So is this on DVD? How do we get this?
It's live. It's aimed at corporates and stuff like that. And basically what it is, my struggles with depression, dyslexia, and DDHA.
Oh, my God. So, I brought you on thinking we would laugh this morning. This is
No, it is love. It's very funny. It's an extremely funny talk that I've done. You know, I was actually talking to a guy yesterday that we tend to get typecast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, so I've since COVID came along, I realized that the internet is the way to do things, whatever. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I created was a platform called Cousin Approved, where I take people's product, I write a funny story about their product, and then at the end I go, da-da-da, Gareth Cliff, I'd buy that for my cousin. Okay, so, and it's working for me. I've got a green screen at home and people send me product. I do the review about the stuff that I like, send it to them, and then they sell it on and market it on their market, the video at 60 seconds, you know?
So, okay.
So when I tell people that, when I tell people I've actually written a card game that is for companies to give as a corporate gift.
Yeah.
And then I tell them that I've got this keynote talk that I do. The first thing 99.9% people say to me is that your real hair? No, and I. The first thing that 99.9% people say to me, oh, wow, do you not get work anymore as a comedian?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I get loads of work as a comedian, but I choose to do something else.
Right, you can't do more than one thing, otherwise it screws with some people's heads. I mean, you know, we talk about the gig economy where, you know, people, especially young people, are able to do like four different jobs.
Yes.
Some of them they do virtually from their home. Some of them they out there on the street hustling, doing whatever they do. But it seems like when you've been really successful at something, and I mean, all of those things I said about you at the beginning, just to
That's
remind people.
Years, by the way.
Listen, I mean, it's a phenomenon. I'm sorry, did I say 30? I'm sure
it
must be wrong. Yeah, no, 40 years. I mean, that is an incredible CV. And as far as comedy goes, and a lot of people who can boast those kinds of accolades. But
yes.
I suppose when you're that successful at one thing, people do think that you're only able to do one thing, right?
Without a doubt. Without all the time. Every time that's what I say. The first thing I get is, oh, wow, is comedy not good? Yes, of course it's good. And you know what else I get? I hear that you're going to go do a tour in England. Yeah?
Yeah.
How do they understand you? And I say, well, actually, I speak Polish, you know? So.
But Barry, I mean, I've been around you a couple of times where you and I have had conversations. Yes. And we invariably, you and I start complaining about shit. And you are really good at that. Now, I know lots of people think of you and they think this is the funniest guy. And you really are hilarious. Been to some of your shows and you're bloody fantastic at it. But you also are really good at being a grumpy old man. Like when you complain, I find it hilarious. A lot of people wouldn't. Yeah. But I've heard you like go on a tirade for like 10 minutes. And to me, it could be, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but man, is it hilarious to hear you bitching and moaning about all kinds of things. And you're good at it. I mean, that just flies in the face. It flies in the face of these people who say, for example, you should always be funny. And you know, the ones who come up to you and go, hey, Barry, tell us a joke, which is very irritating. Oh,
yeah, but you know what? You can't knock those people because they want to hear a joke or whatever. Here's a funny thing. They expect me. Oh, there's Barry. You know, I'll talk to somebody about, hey, there's something wrong with my car. I've got a little knock on the left-hand side. I believe it's the ball joint or whatever. And the mechanic's like this.
Waiting for the punchline.
I'll say, no, there is something wrong with my car, dude. Can you fix it? So people are like that. But I mean, you can't, you know, I can't be upset about that because that's what people know me for. But we all have to change.
So these three D, because it's a nice play on word, your life in 3D. But the first one is depression. Now, this doesn't surprise me. It might surprise a lot of people.
Lots of people.
But comedians, Barry, I can't tell you how many comedians we've had. We had David Cowan last week, and he was ranting and raving about the government and saying how shit everything is, which, I mean, I know for a fact he had a really tough time during COVID. I would say 80%, it's become like a running joke on the show that the comedians that we try and get on here, because we want them to make people laugh, come on and unburden themselves and share their... No, but there's a relationship between depression and comedy. A lot of comedians are actually very depressed.
Can I just embellish on that? There's a relationship between depression and success. Do you know how many lawyers? Do you know how many lawyers actually kill themselves?
But I mean, we should be happy about that.
No, of course we should happy. I mean, I got arrested once, and I said to my friend, "Do you know a good criminal lawyer?" And he said, "Is there any other kind?" You know.
No, but tell me about this relationship between success and depression.
Well, it's success because there I am. I'm on the Sydney Opera House. I fill the Sydney Opera House. I got 2,500 people there. I'm working. I did 2.5 hours, and I'm thinking to myself, "Shit, what am I going to do next year? How am I going to get? Am I going to be as popular next year? Am I going to do this?" And then this little seed of doubt gets put into your head. You know, that's why I think it's important that we always try. We try all the time. Also, footballers, for instance, Gary Speed, he played for Everton, and he was the manager of Wales, and he was doing great. He came home one day and just hung himself. So,
Jesus.
And you know what it is? There's a big correlation between success. Here I am successful. Am I still going to be successful next week? Shit, maybe not. And then the depression rots in. That's what Robin Williams, for God's sakes. I mean, who would have thought?
Exactly.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. You know? But Barry, I mean, so you've obviously dealt with this for a long time. And, you know, I this is not an ageist thing, but also, you know, you're maybe a generation ahead of me, or at least 10, 15 years. I don't know. You're not that much older than me. But the fact is that nobody really – it's become very –
Can I just say, sorry, I've got ADHD. That's one of the things I talk about. Okay. I said to my kids this morning, do I look 67? They said, no, Dad, but you used to.
Barry.
No, you carry on. It's an ageist thing.
It's generational, though. That people never used to talk about their problems. Now all they do is talk about their problems. Harry and Meghan Markle have got this special on about mental health, for example. And for someone of your generation, your age, to talk about this is a lot harder than for someone in their 20s. And you probably only figured out that this was something that you had a lot later in life. It wasn't something that was obvious.
Nut house, bro.
You went to the nut house?
I did. I was actually screaming at my wife, Sandy. I couldn't understand what was wrong. My depression would come in these waves, and then I'd be fine for months, and then something would happen and whatever. So I was screaming at Sandy in a restaurant for some obscure reason in the morning. And then I just, in mid-sentence, I said to her, please take me to the doctor. And that evening, I was in a clinic. But I wanted to go because I knew there was something not lacquer about me. So I went there. But I used that as an experience to help me out. And this is a true thing, and I use in my talk. I go there, and the psychologist says to me, you know, I'm so glad you're here, because not many people come in here admitting that they're not well. Okay. So I said to him, how long am I going to stay here? He said, about 14 days. And I was like, no, but I can't do 14 days here. Why? He said, because usually 6 to 8 days, people are in denial about their illness. So because I've got ADHD, I said to him, denial? I've already been to Egypt. What's the problem? Can I get a credit? And this guy looked at me and I said, dude, I've come here because I want to get better. And the funniest thing, about a month and a half ago, I was doing a gig and I bumped into this guy. He said, do you remember me? I said, yeah, I actually do. He said, yeah, we were in the clinic together. I said, oh, that's fantastic. He said, please don't mention anything to anybody.
Wow.
And I said, but if you don't talk about it, you're going to get back into the clinic. You're going to get back there.
Do you think you developed your sense of humor because it was a defense mechanism, or did your sense of humor? I mean, because when people are, it might start at a young age, right? And you're not sure how to fit in, you're not sure how to get girls interested in you, all of that stuff. No. But it could also be that somehow the mind knows that there's this thing, because it's largely chemical. And you have this depression lurking in the background, and you know it's there. I mean, everybody knows when they feel a certain way, even if you haven't had a diagnosis. And then you develop these defense mechanisms, these skills that help you to overcome it and present yourself to the world. In some ways, it really was the bedrock of your success.
Without a doubt. One particular thing is, and I talk about it in my keynote talk, my mother had polio. So she was classed as a cripple. And she had this caliper, and her leg was like straight. It used to stick out, like, you know, whatever. So wherever she sat, her leg was sticking out.
Must have been horrible giving birth. It must have been horrible giving birth to you with one leg stuck out like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But at least she had a bit of a leg up. No, but anyway, so one day I was 13 years old. I will never forget this in my. It was one of the most important parts of my life. Some drunk guy came past my mum and my dad when we were at this beer garden and looked at my father and looked at my mum and said to my dad, to his face, seriously, why would you marry a cripple? And I was like, my mother's crippled?
I didn't know that.
But but wait for this. This is the best. My old man destroyed this guy, destroyed him with 5 words. He didn't get violent. He didn't get aggressive. The guy said, why would you marry a cripple? My dad looked at him and said, I don't like walking fast. Boom. The guy was history. There was no comeback from that. There was nothing. And I thought to myself, wow. And then from that day onwards, I used my natural humor to fend off bullshit like that. But then once because I was funny, people then say to me, you should be a professional comedian. I thought, what a good idea. That's better than working. So you do that stuff, you know. So humor is a massive, important part of anybody's life, yourselves even. You know, everybody needs humor in their lives. I just chose to use it to my benefit because I can't remember scripts and things like that because I've got serious ADHD. I really do.
Thank God you did, because we've all benefited from it. I'm very grateful for your depression, Barry.
And I'll tell you who's benefited from it more was Previn Gordon, the tax act.
Yes. And he has no sense of humor at all.
Barry, he needs to go to Jacques Callas's hair clinic as well.
Yeah, shame. And probably the depression clinic you went to as well. I just want to talk about this clinic that you went to, because
yes.
I think it's quite a big deal. And, you know, men especially, men are reticent to do this stuff because they think it impacts on their strength as the head of the house or as a provider or as a father. And, you know, we have a lot of people in this country, old and young, black and white, rich and poor, who are all very concerned about how other people see them. And when you actually have the balls to say to, in your case, your wife or anyone else, I'm going to check myself in here. I'm in trouble. I need some help. What do they do in these clinics? Because most of us don't have any idea. You know, we've heard horrible stories from the 1900s, the early 1900s. They'd put people in straitjackets. They'd shock them and they'd torture them and Kampfstahlrath and, you know, like all sorts of horrible shit.
I went through some serious shock treatment. They said to me, if you don't come right, your mother-in-law's coming to live with you. No, I'm only kidding. So you go to this clinic, okay, and then they have all of these things that you do. The sad part about it is this clinic that I went to have one complete ward for teenage girls who are having serious problems. But anyway, so they'll give you like, they'll say, the one thing we all sat together and you draw a picture of your life in a human form, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you've got to stand up with your picture and stand up and say, okay, this is this, this is that. This is this, okay? And then that one of the questions was, draw it as you see it. So there was like eyes all over the place and, you know, whatever you do. And the woman said to me, who else do you think went to a clinic like this? I said, Picasso.
But Barry, did they tell you, seriously, did they say to you, stop, just switch off the funny, please? And
no, they actually encouraged it.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
They said to me, this is who you are. Be who you are. If you're a tough and rough oak, be that person, but realize that you are also human. And you're allowed to be like that. You know, there's a friend of mine in New Zealand called Mike King. He's a massive comedian. He stopped because of the problem with teenage suicide in New Zealand. You should want to interview him one day. He's really good. Yeah. The Maori culture has the largest teenage suicide rate in the world. And it's because of, you know, shut up, suck it up. You're a man, you don't cry. And it's nonsense, you know. If I was talking to you now and I said, shit, you know, Gareth, I've got a bit of problem with my flipping cholesterol. You might go like, oh, you know what? My mate had cholesterol and he went to the doctor and he took these tablets. It's sweet, man. Don't worry about that. But
no,
if I
there's no shame.
If I had to say to you, I'm having a really bad time with my sort of self-esteem and I'm feeling about depressive and maybe I'm suicidal, then that person you're talking to like looks at you like you've got flippant leprosy and then changes the subject and then goes and talks to somebody else because it's like, oh, no, you can't talk about being sick. But it's part of – we're humans, for God's sakes. You know, our brains aren't like sort of immune from this crap. I'm sure there's times in your life I know there's times in your life that you got up and you thought, no, I can't do this shit anymore. I'm sick and tired of people hassling me and do this. I bet you there is. I know it is. And then 10 minutes later, the real Gareth Cliff comes out and says, you know what, bugger these oaks, I'm doing it. You know, people, if you tell me that's never happened to you, then I'll be very shocked.
I have been the person you described just now where you said, you know, these people who change the subject and don't want to talk about mental illness and other people's emotional problems. I've been that guy a lot. My friends know, for example, if they're going through relationship shit, I'm not the best friend to talk to because I'm going to make fun of them. And I have through this show, since you bring it up, I've learned to listen more. I think I've become better at it, but I genuinely don't know how depression feels, Barry. And I think I am, but maybe that's also why I'm not as successful as you are.
Right, no, you are.
Let's get successful first.
No, successful, you know.
All right, I'm interested. Like, did they put you on meds, or did they just give you like therapy and stuff? So, what sort of are you still on meds? I mean, is this something that you think is chronic?
I'm fine now. No, what I did, I was actually taking a huge amount of sleeping tablets. So the psychiatrist said to me, listen, this is actually compounding your problem. And I said, really? He said, yes, you need to be on X, Y, and Z. So I said, okay, when do I start? He said, well, we'll have to wean you off And I said, no, bullshit, man. I'm not here. I'm not here for the long run. I want to get out. I'll stop my meds today. And he said to me, that's not going to happen. I said, it is going to happen. And I just stopped taking my sleeping tablets and bullshit that evening. And then I started the next day. And he was like, wow, that's flipper. I said, no, dude, I've come here because I'm not well. I want to get better. So I did that immediately. So and I still have to take meds. I mean, every day I take meds just to, so it's a certain balance of meds I take. It's like having cholesterol. You take a tablet, but instead I take a tablet to make me feel that. Here's an example. There I am smashing the Grand West Casino, 4,000 people. 4,000 people, okay?
Amazing.
I get a letter 3 days later from one guy who said to me, I was at your show and it was crap. Did you know I locked myself in my bedroom for 3 days?
Jeez, Barry.
And then eventually Sandy came to me and said to me, look, you know, Baz, 3,999 people loved what you said. And just like that, I came out of the depression. And, you know, people say to me, is depression a dark place and what's happening? I said, well, it is a very, very dark place, but you can't blame Eskom for everything. You know.
Barry, there's this brilliant sketch from Harry Enfield where he plays the role of a South African pharmacist, a chemist, and he's standing there and he goes, Prozac, Prozac, Prozac. He's looking for it on the shelf. Prozac, Prozac. I'm sorry to depress you, Mrs. Beasley, but we're out of Prozac.
I saw the job. I like you. Very good.
So, okay, depression is one of the D's, and I think there are way more people who are suffering from this that don't even know about it. So I think it's also really great. No, but hang on. Before we even move on, because you're doing this as a corporate talk as well. So, I mean, every company now has in their HR department someone, the big companies, they all have someone who is busy taking care of wellness, right? And this has become a major thing now because obviously, you know, some people's parents are shit. Some people's home life is shit. Some people's relationships are shit. I mean, it's all really, really tough. And maybe the one place that you can get the help is at work. And if people had to book you for this talk, there might be people in the audience who suddenly realize, oh my God, that's what I've got with depression.
Yeah, a lot of people. I've done three so far. I just launched it a week and a half ago, and I've done three to test it out and all that stuff. I've got massive response from it. And people come to me and say, wow, I needed that. And my response to them is, actually, I needed that because that was part of my depression. Now I'm still going to be good. And the fact that you're laughing at the stuff I'm telling, even though it's very serious, but I made it very, very funny. I said, you are actually helping me get over my depression all the time, every day. So it's an ongoing thing. Depression doesn't leave you. It's not like, oh, you've got a cold and it goes away. Depression is there forever. Forever. But
yeah, you can't cure it.
But you can control it. You find your triggers. And you control it. I bought a bicycle, and I bought quite a few bicycles, but I didn't like this one. I didn't like this one.
Please don't talk about your ex-wives like that. That's very rude.
No, that's terrible. Yeah. What are you trying to peddle here? So I bought this bicycle, and it was a nice bicycle, and everything, like electric bike, and then people say, oh, it's cheating and all that. Then I found this other bike that I found that is like more of you can enjoy this bicycle. And I love riding this bicycle because it's fun to ride. You can go on the beach. You can do this and that and that. So that is one of my get out of jail free cards. If I'm feeling a little bit shitty, I get on my bicycle and I go and have a ride and I listen to music and I have a jaw. So you've got to learn to handle it. And first of all, I know this sounds contradictory. You have to man up to the fact that you have depression and say, guys, it's not a big deal. You know, other than that, I'm a normal oak, you know?
Yeah.
More or less. So,
all right.
Well, I mean, imagine if I was like one of these Ritalin oaks and I'd be talking to you like this. Hi, Gareth. How are you today?
I'm really not good. No, not good. Okay, so, I mean, you've got this combo because it's three things. It's the depression, and now you've already mentioned the ADHD. So let's talk about that for a little bit, because I think there are lots of us who also have that. And you know, someone said to me the other day, if they were doing these kinds of diagnoses when I was at school, I would have definitely been put on something because I, yes, like you, can't concentrate. I can't concentrate for long. If you want to kill my soul, put me in a meeting for 2 hours. I will die 7 small deaths through the course of that meeting. I'll be looking for every excuse.
I don't think you'd be the only one.
Jeez, to get up, to scream, to run, to look at my phone. Everything distracts me. It's very hard for me to focus. Is that what you're talking about with you?
Yes. When I don't know if you've noticed, I interrupted you 3 or 4 times already. And it's not because I'm rude. No, it's not because I'm rude. It's not because I want to get all the limelight. It's not because I'm arrogant. It's because my mind goes, okay, I understand what you're saying. Next. You understand? It's not that I'm rude. It's next. One of the stories I tell about with ADHD got me into so much trouble in school. And this is a true story. I use it in my speech. The one teacher called me stupid the one time when I was in school. Stupid. And he said to me, I'm going to fail because I'm stupid and I'm going to stay in this class until I get more brains to be clever to get out. And he said to me, so what do you think about that, Mr. Hilton? And without thinking, I said to him, you know, sir, I've checked the school records and you've been in this class for 10 years. But it wasn't because I was trying to be arrogant, or it wasn't because I was trying
That's
to
hilarious.
Be. Just, I thought, but hold on, this ex-teacher is therefore, why can you tell me this guy? But I'm sure you understand. ADHD is the weirdest. Yeah. Look, it's brilliant nowadays for my sex life because 30 seconds you can go watch soccer. You know what I'm saying?
You know, look, I mean, this is one where you don't have to explain much to me, but maybe for other people's benefit, it's also, you can get help for this stuff, but we used to just get clups when I was at if my parents thought I was not paying attention, they'd just give me a clap and they told the teachers to give me a clap, and it helps to get you focused. I mean, if nothing else, it's a little bit sore for a while. Yeah, I thought so. I mean,
I think that if you have ADHD and people are not nice about it, that could lead to depression because you think, shit, what's wrong with me, Oak? Because, like, you know, don't interrupt me while I'm interrupting you, dude. That's what ADHD is about. So it's and it's not because we are ugly people. Like you said, if you go do it, if you're in a courtroom or whatever, or in a meeting and you're thinking, oh, for God's sakes, I understand what you're talking about. Yeah, let's get on to the next subject, please. And exactly what you said now, it's exhausting because you're thinking, I know what you're talking about. Let's go on. Here's an example. I have this really brilliant young lady who's a PA for me, who I have an absolute hard time with her because I say, I want you to do this, this, and this. And she says, but we've got to do this, this. And I said to her, I'm telling you exactly what you've just told me now. And she says, didn't tell me that. I said, but I didn't. You've been there. I talk in the, like, she talks the very next step. I go the next step, the third step after that. That's what I'm in that space already. That's what ADHD does.
Do you think that this ADHD, because it's still, they're still figuring out what some of these conditions are. And Simpiwe, I don't know if you've got any of this depression, ADHD. I mean, everybody's got a little bit of something because no one's brain is perfectly chemically balanced all the time. And then there's circumstantial stuff that also affects you. You know, if someone dies or if you have to move house or something traumatic happens to you, that can seriously throw things out of kilter. But with this ADHD thing, do you think it also has to do, because I'm very, very much interested in certain things and I can focus on those things and I'm good at them and I want to be the best at them and I'll learn everything I can about them. But the things I don't care about, Barry, I do not give 2 shits about. You could put that stuff in front of me every day. I'll never develop an interest in it. You could force feed it to me. Like one. Is that the same thing?
Without a doubt. You know what? My beautiful wife, Sandy, we've been married now 15 years. We're having a duel. She does that side of the business. She tells me 5 or 6 times up to when I'm going to do a gig. And she'll tell me, tomorrow you're doing this and this and this and this. And I'll wake up tomorrow morning and say, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And she'll go like, Betty, I told you. But now she understands me. And here's the funniest thing. You know, when I get on stage, people come to see me and they say, you know what, I saw you 3 weeks ago and your show was about 80 to 90% different than what it was 3 weeks ago. And I'll say, yeah.
Yeah, because you're bored.
They say, how do you do that? I say, because I can't start at A and end at Z. Because when I'm talking about A, I'm thinking, oh, shit, you know, what about that? It's in my brain is, you explained it just now. My brain is working about something else. And I think, well, let me just talk about that for a little while and then talk about that for a little. The weirdest thing, when I'm doing my keynote talk, would you believe this? I have to have a little on my iPad, little notes that come up so I can keep the sequence. And people say to me, I don't understand. Your talk was brilliant, but you had to go back to your notes. I said, yeah, because otherwise I would have, you know, we booked you for 45 minutes. We would have been here till the Wednesday, you know, other than that.
Absolutely,
so you
right.
Understand my pain. You understand. Yeah. So ADHD is a weird thing. Eh?
So what's the third one? What's the third D?
Dyslexia.
Yeah. Okay. So you got the trifecta of shit things.
That's why if you read about it, it's depression. I say dyslexia and DDHA, not ADHD. So a lot of people go like, but it's spelled wrong. And I go like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So dyslexia is obviously, and you can correct me if I get this wrong, but it's when you're actually left-handed or right-handed or you're ambidextrous, but they force you to do one of those and it confuses the brain. Your left brain is actually controlling the right-hand side of your body and your right brain is controlling the left-hand side of your body. Yeah. But sometimes for some people, the wires get crossed.
Yeah, I'm left-handed. So that means I think with the right brain, which tells me it's the right brain. But anyway, but dyslexia is I read things that are back to front.
Yes.
I'll read something and I could swear I'll read something and it says da 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 da. Okay, cool. And I look back at it, I say, oh shit, it doesn't say that. Actually, it says other things. You know, so
did you struggle with writing at school as well?
Absolutely. The only thing I could do well in school, the weirdest thing, was mathematics and science. And like algebra and stuff like that, you know, because I enjoyed that, like you said,
because
I immersed myself into that. But the English language and
what's on one side of the equal sign is the same as what's on the other side of the equal sign. Doesn't matter which side you start. That's basic algebra, for example. So you like that, but the other subjects, especially with words, and that confused you.
You know, here's the weirdest thing. I don't read. I've probably read 6 books in my whole life because if it doesn't catch me in the first 30 seconds, maybe 2 minutes, I'm out. So, but now what I've done now is, you see, there's another thing, there's a way around things in life. I actually voraciously listen to audio books.
Right.
Because it got my attention. Do you know what I'm saying? I can't pick up a book and go read this.
It's almost like you're describing that your ears are better for learning and your eyes.
Your eyes
let you down when it comes to learning in a conventional sense.
Well,
but were you forced to use your right hand even though you were left-handed?
Yes, but I refused.
Oh, good. Because that happened to a lot of people.
My parents were called in and said, you know, this man's from the devil. He loses his left hand. I just said, no, I just refused completely. I wouldn't do it. Because I said, why must I do it? And then actually, funny enough, I was in a school in the UK at the time, and I went to the head teacher came in and they said, why don't you write with your right hand? I said, because I choose not to. And they said, but can you write with your right hand? I said, yes. And I wrote it because I can do it. And they said, well, why don't you write with your right hand? I said, because my left hand feels better.
Yeah,
so that's
it's like people who play golf and they put their left hand over their right or their right hand over their left. I mean, you kick a soccer ball with your dominant leg, and for some people, it feels right. It seems to me like it's not controversial at all, but at one stage it was, right?
Absolutely. Do you play golf?
No, no.
I've tried many times to play golf, but clearly I'm left-handed. Okay, But now this is where my ADHD comes in and all that stuff.
Yeah,
the guys, I'll pick up a golf club and I'll put it on my left hand. They say, oh my God, you left-handed. And then my, instead of getting cross about it, I do what my dad did. Sort the oak out. I say, I'm actually right-handed, but I'm giving you oaks a chance today. And then they go like, oh, okay. Instead of getting confrontational about it, you know, I just say, yeah, right, yeah, no problem.
So I just want to go through. I want to go through a couple of these comments to just alleviate your depression. So John Bad Dog says, Barry pulled the piss out of me 3 times. The first was at Hunter's Pub in Boksburg in the 90s after I walked in late after smoking a joint outside. And that was exactly what he ripped into me for. So well done on that one.
Jared.
Valerie says, hi, Barry. First time I saw you doing your thing was in the early 90s at the Deelkraal Gold Mine in Carltonville. Wow.
That's deep, eh?
Second time was at Carnival, says John Bad Dog. You picked me out of the crowd, asked where I came from, told him Boksburg, and he was on me for 5 minutes. That's great. So this, you know, is so good.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't belittle people. I actually talk to them about it.
But I mean, listen. Boksburg is.
Be careful about
Simpiwe is from the East Rand. So.
I'm from Boksburg.
Well, I left the East Rand because of the crime problem. Really, the police kept on catching me. You know.
Lebohang says, a legend in the house. I used to see this great man growing up doing the Savannah ads. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Thank you, Lebohang. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Then a lot of people are just massive fans of yours here. David Sachs says, my dad is the biggest Barry Hilton fan. I'm 35. I've grown up with Barry all my life. Such a legend. Thank you for making my life and my family's life so much better. You'll always be relevant.
That's blooming cool, eh? Oaks asked me, they said to me, are you a legend? I said, well, yeah, maybe just after Toyota. See, that's what happens with my brain. That's how it works, you know. You just gotta make it.
Well, Janet says, Barry, it takes guts to speak out. Thank you. I was diagnosed with ADHD in 2018 after thinking I was stupid for years. Added to my depression and anxiety, I maintain humor is the best medicine.
Without a doubt, you can see she's ADHD because she it should have been about a 4-page letter to me, but she's got cut full halfway. You know what? I love the fact that you told me that you have ADHD, because there you are.
It's never been diagnosed, but I think it is. I think it's what.
Well, I would imagine it is. But the fact that you say you're listening to people and you're thinking, get me out of here. If there is a God, please change the subject. You have ADHD, bro. I think so. So, and well done for admitting it.
Well.
So wait, 17th March, Gareth Cliff officially got diagnosed with.
Well, by Barry Hilton. Barry's my doctor.
By Barry Hilton, Dr. Hilton. Yes.
Anybody has any questions? Speak to Dr. Hilton. He'll sort it out for you. So Barry, let's just check. Simpiwe, you don't have dyslexia or depression or ADHD.
None of that. I am left-handed, so I do, you know, understand some of the challenges that come with being a left-hand.
Well done, Simpiwe. If you're left-handed, do the right thing.
Oh, fuck. So, Barry, do you think South Africa is a country that takes these things seriously enough? Because I did mention earlier that, you know, there are lots of, especially, you know, in men and traditional black families, Afrikaans families, they're very conservative about this stuff. Even like the Libs and the Poras and the Jews, you know, they take these things very seriously, and you can't be a real. Yeah. What do you think of that? Because that's a big influence.
I think that, you know, the world has changed, and we should actually, everybody should move up with the times. You can't still live in the 60s, you know? So it is, I think slowly but surely, the mental health in things coming through, and people are wanting to be who they are. The millennials, they say that they have 4 to 5 careers. Mm-hmm. Now imagine that when I was, you become electrician, and then you work for 47 years to become electrician. And after that, you get a wife, 2.3 kids, a Valiant, and a caravan. That's how life used to be. But nowadays, you can chop and change and chop and change. Yeah, but it's the truth, Gareth. Ask your dad.
Valiant in a caravan.
This young lady was thinking, what the hell is a Valiant? So it was a South African car that if you, you had to wear khaki shorts or a safari suit to drive it. That was the sort of condition.
So Barry, here's a comment from Carl. He says, yes. Barry played my high school 25 years ago. He was a role model to me. My parents were very concerned about that.
You know what? I thank you very much, Carl. You know, I have six children, seven if you count. We sort of adopted my nephew.
Okay.
It's a long story. But all of my kids, I say to them, dude, do what you do. Don't flip and tell. Let anybody else tell you what to do. Because my whole life was like that. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You will do this. You will do that. Because that's the way it's done. You know, my father-in-law is a great guy. But he's like living, he lives in flipping the 30s or some shit like that. And he says to me, because Jack goes to a school in Amanus where we live, where they're allowed to express themselves. It's a Montessori school called Generations. Oh. Very good.
Oh, yeah. They talk to trees and they dance around and they all dress differently.
If Jack wants to go do his homework under the tree, you can do it. Mm. But they have structures. So my father-in-law, every time he sees Jack, says, you know, really, you need to get this child a haircut. And I said to him, you know what, Basil, there's no correlation between the length of your hair and the ability to do maths. There's nothing. It doesn't work that way. Because if your hair's short, it doesn't make you more intelligent. You know, so live with it, dude.
What do you think would have been different about you if your parents and everyone else around you hadn't told you to shut up and do what they told you? What do you think would have been different, Barry? What might you have done?
I probably still would have been in this field as an entertainer, but I had to endure being an electrician for 10 years because my father said, you have to do this. So maybe I might have been in Hollywood. I don't know. But saying that, I'm where I am because this is where I'm supposed to be. That's my philosophy.
There's no point in regrets, right? Because if you're a depressed person or you're a person who's dealing with depression every day, you can't afford to get swallowed up in could have, would have, should have.
One of my biggest regrets would be that I didn't get myself diagnosed earlier. But I wouldn't have taken tablets because this, my ADHD and what I have is actually made, if I may be so bold, it's made Barry Hilton. You know, I'm allowed to be a bit of a loon and all that. They go, it's Barry Hilton. It's fine. No problem. So imagine if I'd have done something else and I'd have taken tabs and it would have been a completely different world. You know, I probably would have been speaking to somebody else today, you know? So it's, I believe all things must pass. Remember George Harrison said that all things must pass. And I believe in his philosophy when he did that, all things must pass. It's like, dude, you have to go through shit to get there. You have to experience life to enjoy life.
And let's not forget, he was the one who wrote, here comes the sun.
Absolutely.
And you need to remember
about that. Five boys. So.
But I mean, at the same time, it's you have to know that the sun's going to rise and that everything will be okay, because otherwise that depression can swallow you up. I just want to go to something here. Go on.
Yes. Please, carry on.
No, Basitsana says something here. I want to hear Simpiwe's comments on this because it might not be so prevalent anymore. But Basitsana says, black people used to think you're left-handed. It was bad luck or evil. My mom forced my brother to be right-handed. Yes, sis, she says. Thank goodness things have changed.
Oh, yeah.
And he's getting out of jail next year.
Is it true?
Oh, yeah, it's very true. It does have a bit of a negative connotation if you say I'm left-handed in the black community. But I think my gran was one lady who handled it very well because she was just like, this is my child and there's nothing wrong with her. And so for me, I kind of grew up in a community that was just like, oh, you left-handed. No, okay. But she had to fight those people to be like, yeah, we're not going to make you write with your right hand, even when teachers wanted me to. Like, I even have, like, left-hand scissors. They really, like, made sure that I was fully accepted, you know, that get me all the things that I needed for my left hand. You know,
left-handed scissors. Yes.
It was only a couple of hundred years ago, if you said something wrong, somebody would say to you, you're a witch and you're a heretic, and they'd burn you.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that long ago. Yeah.
It's not that long ago, you know.
I wonder... Don't you think sometimes that the people who get distracted easily, the people who might have had ADHD, because it's been a part of being human for probably thousands of years. I mean, there've obviously been successful ones and not so successful ones. But I wonder how many witches they burnt because the people actually were depressed or had ADHD or anxiety
boom,
or something
boom.
Else. Right?
Yeah. You know how many times people have said to me, you're not right, bro. You're not right. I said, well, what do you mean I'm not right? No, because how can you talk about 12 different things at once? And I just say, welcome to my world, bitch.
Well, Valerie says, Barry, it could have been much worse. You could have become a pole dancer.
Well, do you know what? First of all, I'm not Polish. And second of all, look at me. It would be a bloody big pole.
All right, listen, Barry, we love you. Thank you so much, my friend. And it's been so lovely to have you on here, and thank you for sharing all of this stuff. It's nice to have meaningful conversations on a Friday, but also make us laugh. Everybody have a happy weekend. We will see you on Monday. Bye. CliffCentral.com.